Okay, today's daf is Erchin Daf Tevav. We have a really, really interesting daf. We're going to start at the Mishnah at the bottom of Yudalat Amabet, but two Mishnah up from the end, about 15 lines, maybe 12 lines from the bottom. Bishur Hamu'ad, if you remember, we're in the list of all these things that have a chumra and a kula to them. So, Bishur Hamu'ad Sheimita Te'eved La'Kelu La'Chmir. In a shor mu'ad, that's a shor that gore someone three times, gore another animal three times. If it kills an Eved Kana'ani, then it has a kula and a chumra because, again, the din is 30, you pay 30 shkalim. Ketzad. Echad she'emita tana esh avadim, ve'et ha'ko'or she'avadim, noten 30 sela. Right? Whether it's a beautiful Eved or an ugly Eved, either which way, you give 30 shkalim. Again, that could go l'chumra or l'kula. Hemid ben Chorin, just like in the other Mishnayot, it then gave an example where we don't go by the set amount mentioned in the Torah, but it fluctuates. So if he kills, if a shor mu'ad kills a ben Chorin, then it goes according to the person's value. Chaval b'zeh b'zeh. If you remember, what's the law there? The law is that if a shor mu'ad kills somebody, we kill the shor. And theoretically, it says that the Baal HaShor is also supposed to die. The owner is supposed to get killed, but we don't actually kill him, because he didn't do the damage, he didn't kill the person directly, but because he indirectly caused the damage, we assess the value, and he has to pay the value, kind of the, says, v'natan kofer nafsho, he has to give his, like, ransom amount because of what he allowed to happen. So that value goes by the value of the person, depending on, you know, what they're worth. Chaval b'zeh u'b'zeh. Now, what if a shor causes damage, or if he damages, whether it's an eved or whether it's a person, then notei nezek shalem. Then it has nothing to do. The shloshim kesef is only if he kills the eved. But if the shor causes damage, then he has to pay nezek shalem to, right, full damages. That's the difference between a shor muad and a shor tam, if you remember, although today we're going to see some radical shita. But generally, we say a shor tam is, right, a shor who hasn't yet gored three times only pays half damages for any damage he causes, whereas a shor mu'ad pays full damage. But here, obviously, the damage is assessed by the damage done and not based on some amount set in the Torah. So now the Gemara assumes that since we're talking about, we started with a shor mu'ad, that was the title of the Mishnah, B'mu'ad in b'tam lo. It sounds like all these laws are relevant only for a shor mu'ad and not for a shor tam. If that's the case, though, lema matznitin de lo k'Rabbi Akiva. It must be that our Mishnah doesn't match Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Why? Titznan, it says in the Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva omer, a Mishnah, af tam shechaval ba'adam mishalem b'motar nezek shalem. I said we're going to see an interesting shita. Rabbi Akiva says that the nezek, chatzi nezek, that we always say for shor tam, is only if a shor gores another shor or another animal. But if a shor gores a person, even if he's only a shor tam, he has to pay nezek shalem. Now notice the wording, there's a little something different here. Shor tam shechaval ba'adam mishalem b'motar nezek shalem. What is motar? The addition, the extra, we'll talk about what this means exactly. What does it mean here? Well, the assumption is, it's actually interesting, if a shor gores a person, it must be the person also does some damage back to the shor, because there must have been some sort of fight. So therefore, what they do is they assess the damage caused to the person, the damage caused to the shor. They deduct from the amount he's supposed to pay the person whatever damage happened to the shor. That's the motar. So let's say, you know, there was 50 shekel, whatever. You know, whatever the difference is, you take the difference. That's what he owes the person. And then you go by nezek shalem. It doesn't necessarily mean you end up with the full nezek of what he caused to the person, because you have to deduct what happened to the shor. But either which way, we're going to assess whatever the value is. He has to pay full damages for a person. So it sounds like that doesn't match our Mishnah, because our Mishnah is obviously talking about a shor who gores a person. And it says, chaval b'zeh b'zeh notei nezek shalem. And the assumption is that the topic of the Mishnah is shor mu'ad. So they say it must not hold like Rabbi Akiva. Then the Gemara says, no, afilu tamer Rabbi Akiva, you could even say it's Rabbi Akiva. Hu adin da afilu tam nami, it would also include a tam. Va'aydi de kamayin v'nei seifa, hemit eved, hemit ben chorin, de b'muad hu de mishkachala, b'tam lo mishkachala, mishum hachi katane mu'ad. The reason why it said mu'ad was really only for a particular case. The mu'ad, the shor mu'ad, was for when it kills a person or kills whether it's a free man or kills a slave. That's when it's only going to be relevant, the laws about a shor mu'ad. But you could claim that the last comment about chaval b'zeh o b'zeh, mishalem nezek shalem, could even be in a short time and could match Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Okay, and it was just they used mu'ad because of the other part. New Mishnah. Be'ones uv'mefate, lahakel u'lachmir. Again, somebody rapes or someone seduces a woman, there's a kula and a chumar, because according to the Torah, you're supposed to pay 50 shekel. Ketzad. Echad sha'anasu pitat ha'gdola sha'bekuna, ve'et ha'ktana sha'b'Yisrael. If you remember, we quoted this before. The Gemara quoted this, that if you rape or seduce either the greatest of the Kohanim, meaning of the Bat Kohanim, right? They have a higher sort of status. Ve'et ha'ktana sha'b'Yisrael, and the lowest Yisrael that there is, no matter what, noten chamishim sla'im, has to give chamishim sla'im. Okay, now, remember, sla'im and shkalim are the same. But just like in all the other Mishnayot, we said, well, there's something that has a set amount, and there's something that depends on what's going on. So now they say, aval haboshet v'hapgam, but the embarrassment and the how do they translate pgam? The
degradation.
What?
Degradation.
Degradation. Okay, the degradation of the woman, or really it's the humiliation. It's actually, interestingly, okay, this is a little disturbing to us women, but it's the pgam is generally the pgam for the mishpacha, the family. It's the humiliation for the family that happens, okay, the degradation of the family.
Just say depreciation, which means the reduction in value.
Yafeh, right. Depreciation, which really means, right, she's now worth less, which means for the family it's going to be harder to marry her off. And when they do marry her off, right, it's going to be less, to a less wealthy person. So this pgam mishpacha, it's also embarrassing. Hakol lefi hamivayesh vehamitvayesh. This is very interesting. It all depends on who she is, and therefore how much pgam there is to her. Right? If you're worth less to begin with, so then the amount that you're going to go down by having been raped will be less. And also the mivayesh. It depends on who raped you. If it's an important person who raped you, so then the degradation is going to be less potentially. And if it's a low-level person who raped you, then it might be more degradation. It's very interesting. There's actually some debates about whether the mivayesh really calculates into the picture or not. There's very interesting discussions about it. So that part of it, so now we're learning, and the Gemara is going to talk about this, there's two aspects. There's two payments he has to pay, right? You would have thought from the Torah, it sounds like he just pays 50 shekel, and that's the end of it. But now we learn, which is actually somewhat comforting, that not only does he have to pay the 50 shekel, but, and we'll see what the difference is between the two and why there's two things. What's the 50 shekel for then, if not for the humiliation and the degradation and the embarrassment he caused her, but that there's two aspects here. Okay, we'll talk about what the first aspect is, but there's an additional payment for her for what he did to her. Again, maybe also more to her family, but partly also to her. So now they say, Amai, Ema chamishim slaim. Why are you assuming there's boshet and pgam? Ema chamishim slaim amarachmana mikol milei. Why don't we say the 50 slaim covers everything? Right, it covers. So it's a big lump sum payment that covers your embarrassment, humiliation, degradation, all those things. So amarav zera yomru baal bat malachim chamishim baal bat hedyotot chamishim. Can't possibly be that you pay the same if you raped the daughter of a king and if you raped the daughter of a regular person. So therefore, their assumption is, don't worry because we're going to reject this because isn't that what we've just been saying? But yes, there is no difference. But right now, they're going to throw up in the air this possibility or throw out this possibility that maybe there has to be some difference. Like, it's inconceivable to them that there couldn't be a difference. So therefore, what do they say? Well, it's true, there's some set fine that you have to pay. But in addition to that fine, there is something that depends on who you are. Then the Gemara says, but then, ihachi gabe evenami. But then the same thing should apply for a slave. Again, what's the slave? That's the previous Mishnah. If a shor mu'ad kills a slave, there should be a difference. Here's going to be interesting, their distinction. Yomru eved nokev margalit, a slave who his job is he's basically a jeweler, right? He's taking care of the pearls. will get shloshim, and eved oseh maaseh machat shloshim, and the guy who just sews is also going to get 30. That doesn't make sense either. And yet, despite the fact that it makes no sense logically, that's what the Torah says, and that's what it is. And nobody talks there about there being some additional payment. So therefore, here also, there shouldn't be any additional payment for the fact that there's... Right, this is very interesting because it basically is equalizing. Right? We talked about before that there's Kohanim, there's Yisraelim, right? And there's a hierarchy. And this is kind of saying when it comes to things like rape, it doesn't make a difference who you are. It's all the same, right? No matter who you are, no matter what, your humiliation will be the same. So therefore, that can't be the reason. So therefore, they're now going to say there's a different reason. Ela Amar Rav Zeira, so Rav Zeira, who got knocked out by Abaye, this first answer comes up with a second answer. Why is there also boshet and pgam? Ilu ba'u alei ha'shnayim, echad shelo kedarka, the echad kedarka. There's actually a bunch of ways to understand this. I'm going to go with one pirush. Okay, if two men slept with her, okay, one had anal intercourse with her, and one had regular intercourse with her. Now, by having anal intercourse, you're not breaking her, you're not tearing her betulim. You know, that's the whole pgam, that she no longer has betulim. She no longer is a virgin. So now, if one slept with her first that way, and then the other in a regular way, yomru ba'al pguma chamishim, ba'al shlema chamishim, you're going to say, can you possibly say, the first one, okay, so there's a debate about whether the one Shabbal Shalok Kedarka even has to pay at all, but let's go according to that interpretation. The first one will pay Chamishim, and the one who already, in other words, she was already damaged already by the second time around, is also going to pay Chamishim. Now, it doesn't make sense to them that once she already got raped in some way, even though she didn't lose her virginity, still she's already Guma. She's already kind of in a different category. And how could it make sense that we wouldn't distinguish? Okay, so this is very similar kind of answer to the first one. What's the difference between this and the first answer that was rejected? Well, the first answer had to do with what she was born into, right? It's a matter of your status in society. That's not something as measurable as a pgam in your body, something happening to your body. So therefore, he then goes according to the interpretation of, well, maybe if something happens already to your body, that would make you different, and therefore there should be a distinction, because according to the law, the second guy who rapes her is also chayav because he tears her hymen and she loses her virginity. So therefore, how could it be that he would pay the same 50 as the first guy when she was already damaged goods, so to speak? Again, hard to talk about women in this context, but that's how they read it. This answer is also going to be rejected, though. Abaye doesn't like it either. Amar le Abaye, ihachi kabe eved nami yomru. Okay, you could say again the same argument by an eved. If we're talking about bodily damage, so let's go with this. Eved barish shloshim, eved mukachchin shloshim. You're going to pay a healthy, good eved 30, and you're going to pay an eved mukachchin 30. That doesn't make sense. Remember, mukachchin is a guy who has boils. We talked about it the last time that he doesn't even have value, and the shit, nobody wants to buy him. And yet, according to the Torah, he's an eved. He still gets the 30 shekels. So if you're talking about someone whose body has, you know, damage to it or something like that, again, the Torah makes no distinction. So why should it, all of a sudden, in this case, start making, having two sections, right? One that's a set amount and one that depends on your value. So that's not a good answer. So Rav Zeira has no more answers. Comes Abaye and he gives an answer, and so does Rava. Ela Amar Abaye, Amar Kra. It's learned out from the Pasuk. What does it say in the Pasuk? Tachat Asher Ina. Because he caused her to suffer. Okay? Now, because, right, the Pasuk says, V'natana ish ha-shochet. Okay, well, let's read the whole Pasuk because it's going to be important. We're going to darshan the beginning of it in a minute, the Rava's interpretation. Natan ha'isha shochevima, the man who slept with her, has to give la'avi hana'ara, to the father of the girl, chamishim kasef, right, 50 shkalim, v'lo tieli isha, and then he's supposed to marry her, tachat asher ina, because he caused her to suffer. Because the pasuk mentions suffering, there must be a payment also for the suffering. Okay, that's what Abaye says. Michlal, from here one can infer, di'ika boshet imkam, that there's payment for her suffering. Rava Amar, Rava Darsh is the beginning of the Pasuk, Tamar Kra, V'natana ish ha-shochev ima. Okay, it just could say V'natana ish, we know he slept with her, we just said he slept with her. So what does it mean, V'natana ish ha-shochev ima? Hana'at shchiva chamishim. What's the 50 for? The 50 is because he benefited from doing something terrible. So the benefit, right, the hana'ah that he got For that, he has to pay 50. Michlal, from here one can infer, de'ika milta achrite. In other words, there's two things going on. One is he's benefiting, just like if you steal something, you benefit from someone else's thing. He slept with her, he got benefit. For that, he has to pay the 50 shekel. But in addition, he caused her pain and suffering. For that, he has to pay something else. So they darsh on the fact that the Torah tells you, instead of just saying, v'natana ish, say, natana ish ha-shochev ima, on account of the fact that he slept with her, for that, and his own personal pleasure, for that, he has to pay the 50 shekel. But in addition, there's something else. So there's two answers given at the end. One is tachad asheri na, because he caused her to suffer, and the other is hashochev ima, because he slept with her, he has to pay his hana. Okay, we're going to get back to this idea later today about the hana'a, and in this case, he had to pay for benefiting. Right, he got benefit from his sin. Sometimes we're going to talk about later, you do sins that you actually don't really benefit from, and the question is that better or worse? Right, on the one hand, he did this for his own personal pleasure, but if you sin without even getting hana'a, maybe that's even worse. Okay, we're going to get there.
Michelle, before you continue, mm-hmm. there's a structural question. This parak started with all this stuff. Like, why did it break it into Mishnayot as opposed to one Mishnah, which was the beginning, which mentioned all these
things?
Well,
theoretically, it did. Okay, so you have to remember also who split up the Mishnayot the way they are. But the way it works is very simple. These things have lahakel ulahachmir. It lists the four things. And then it says, okay, now we're going to go into this one, now we're going to go into this one, now we're going to go into this one, now we're going to go into this. Just like, elu nochlinu manchilim, en lo nochlin velo manchilim, and we have these four possibilities, four permutations. So usually the Mishnah sets up a topic sentence. The topic sentence is, we're going to have all these things, yesh b'ham la'kelu la'chmir, and then it starts going one after the other. What are the details of each of these things? Does that make sense?
In one Mishnah?
That's just a matter of how they break it up. What do you mean a many brightot? The Gemara will bring brightot.
The Gemara, yeah. It'll be like
You're saying why did the Mishnah go into depth into each case?
Why are there individual Mishnayot when we had one Mishnah? This seems repetitive.
No, so the first Mishnah just set up the fact that it has lakel lachmir, but it didn't tell us how. So now each subsequent Mishnah, which again could just be viewed as one long Mishnah, the Gemara theoretically could have, sometimes you see it quotes the entire parak in the beginning before it then starts going into it. It could have listed all these Mishnayot as one and then gone in depth into each one. But it makes sense to kind of split it by topic, and each time, that's more, no matter what the Gemara is going to comment on each one, it's just a matter of how you split it up. Okay, now we're going to go into Motzi Shemra. Okay, and from here we're going to get into, what's a Motzi Shemra? It's a guy who marries a woman, assuming she's a virgin, and then after the wedding, he sleeps with her, and he goes out to the Ziknat Yir, and he says, right, you can't imagine how someone could actually do this and humiliate himself, his wife, right, his whole everything, and he comes and he says, you know, lo matzati la betulim, and then they check and they see, is it really true? How exactly they check, you know, good question. Now, part of it, there's two aspects here. One aspect is that he's basically, like it says, motzi shem ra, right? He basically airs out his dirty laundry, you know, he humiliates her, and if he's lying right now, what could happen? First of all, the assumption is he's claiming. Okay, let's go back. When you get married in Jewish law, first there's erusin or kiddushin, which nowadays we do under the chuppah, but in those days they did it a while before. At that point, she becomes, that's what we say at a wedding, berkata erusin. We basically say, right, woman is forbidden to everybody. Asher asar lanu et arusot lanu. Right, only at the Nisuin do they become mutar to a particular person. Until that point, women can go with anyone. Then Erusin comes and says, you're forbidden to everybody, including to the person you're engaged to. And then the Nisuin matirs her to that particular person. At Erusin, you basically become miyuad, you're specified that, you know, this is your person. Now, he claims that she slept with someone during the period of the Erusin, which means that she's an Eshet Ish, basically. That's enough to call her an Eshet. She's already forbidden to everybody at that point, in which case they could kill her, okay? So you would think that what's the worst part about a Motzi Shemra? Well, theoretically, if they hadn't found out that he was lying and they thought he was telling the truth, they would have killed her for adultery. But yet, it's called a Motzi Shemra. And what's really the worst part about it is that he's causing her to be humiliated by having said that she didn't have betulim, when really it wasn't even true, That's really what's the worst part about it. And from here, we're going to get into Lashon Hara. And these are going to be dapim that all deal with laws of Lashon Hara. It's going to be very interesting. So the Gemara says, "B'motzi shemra lahakelu lachmir ketzad echad shotzi shemra al hagdola gdola shebekuna va'al ktana shebiyisrael." Again, that same range. Noten ma'asela. Okay, now what do you see here? This amount is double the previous. Now, if you think about it, what's worse, right? Is it worse to be raped, right? Or is it worse to have motzi shemra? You would have thought, right? People always think of rape as the absolute worst. Here you see that motzi shemra is double the amount. That's a lot more, okay? Remember, this was a significant amount of money, ma'asana. Again, I keep comparing it to the ketubah money. The ketubah money is chamishim. That's what, right? Ketubah money is always considered a significant amount of money. Right, it's not 200 shekels, the way we call shekels. The shekel there was worth a lot more. Nimtzaha omer befiv. Now, what do you see from here? Someone who says something with his mouth. Chamor min ha'oseh ma'aseh. Okay, the Mishnah says it explicitly. Someone who inflicts damage verbally is worse than someone who doesn't act. Now, this is a little difficult because we always say, right, alav she'ein bo ma'aseh, you don't get malko for. Actions are always worse than words. And here, what is it trying to tell you? No. Words can be worse than actions. Sheken matzinu, shelo nechta. Now, here's our proof. How do we know? Shelo nitchatein gzardin al avotenu b'mitzrayim, ela al lashon hara. Shenemar v'yenasu oti ze eser pa'amim. Okay, in Bamibra Yudal, that after Chena Meraglin, the pasuk reads, "Ki kol anashim aruim et kodi v'eto totai asher siti b'Mitzrayim v'Bamidbar." Right, all the people who saw the great, amazing things I did in Mitzrayim, but yinesu otuzi eser pami b'lo shamu b'koli. Right, and you keep testing me and testing me and testing me. You're doing all these terrible things wrong, but then it continues to say, right now that you did Chena Meraglin, I'm going to basically say you can't go into the land. Okay, all the nine things you did before that didn't do it, but this did it. Okay? Which means what? What was the Chet HaMeraglim? Well, one could conjecture maybe it's some other things, but according to the Mishnah, what did they do wrong? Lashon Hara. Okay? And soon we're going to compare. That was Lashon Hara of objects, right, of a land, as opposed to Lashon Hara of people, which is actually even worse. Okay? So, very interesting Mishnah in light of, in general, nowadays it's a big hot topic about slander and what people say, you know, and how verbally it's very dangerous, right? And generally, we usually view halacha as not saying that, but here, and it's interesting that this is an erchin. Why? Erchin is all about something you express with your mouth. You say erki alai, and you all of a sudden have all these chiyuvim because of just what you said. You didn't actually do anything, but all these, you know, you have to keep to what you said. So now the Gemara says, Mimai dilma mishum de kagarim la katla. Why are you saying Motzi Shemra is all about what he said, and it's Lashon Hara, right? What he said, it's what he said with his mouth. No, really, it's because he could have caused her to die, as I said before. Dichtiv v'im emet haya davar, right? If it, the Torah sets up, if it's true, this is what happens, and if it's not true, this is what happens. Now it says, if it's true what he said, botziu et hanara. Okay, right, I'll read the whole pasuk. Im emet haya davar hazeh, lo nimtzu betulim lanara, right, and they find out she really didn't have betulim. Botziu et hanara al petach beit aviyah, uskalu anshei rabba v'nim u'meita, ki asan av alav Yisrael lizno beit aviyah u'biyar tara mikirbecha. So maybe it's because it's going to cause her to get killed. Maybe that's what's so bad about it. So Amar Rava, Amar Kra. No, it says actually in the Psukim there, okay, in the Pasuk where it says that he has to pay Mea Kesef, it says, Vanshu oto Mea Kesef and Anula Vianara, right? They punish him with this Mea Kesef, they give it to the father of the girl. Ki hotzi shem ra al betula Yisrael. There you have it. Because he gave her a bad name. So it says it explicitly. Al shem ra shotzi. It's based on the name, the Lashon Hara. Now they say, but now we're going to go to the Meraglim and kind of talk about that also. V'chei matzinu shelo nitzchatein gzardin v'chule. Mimai, dilma da'akati lo male sa'atan. Da'amar Rav Hamnuna, en ha'kadosh baruch hu nifra min ha'adam ad shetitmale sa'ato. Shenemar b'mala'ot safko yetzer lo. Maybe the reason why the Meraglim was just the straw that broke the camel's back. Maybe it was just, they needed to get X amount of sins And when they hit sin number 10, that, you know, put them over the edge. And maybe it wasn't so much that it was so terrible that it was worse qualitatively than all the other things that Bnei Yisrael had done, and that saying speaking is worse than anything else. No, maybe it was just at that point, you know, it was equal to all the others, but it just tilted the scale. So, and Rav Hamnuna says that God doesn't punish someone until nitmale sato, until he's full, right? His sins fill up. Okay. Amar Rish Lakish, no, he says, I have proof that it was this. Amar kra v'yinasu oti ze eser pa'amim. Because it says v'yinasu oti ze eser pa'amim. It doesn't say v'yinasu oti eser pa'amim, which is what you would have said. But it says v'yinasu oti ze eser pa'amim. What do they learn from the ze? Al ze nitchatem gzardim. This was the one that caused it, okay? Because of the word ze, it says specifically because of this. Tanya. Now we're going to have all sorts of brayot about Lashon Hara. Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Parta. See how powerful Lashon Hara is. Minalan mi meraglim. Let's see from the meraglim. Ma motzim shem ra al etzim va'avanim. If you're motzi shem ra on trees and rocks, which is what they did about Eretz Yisrael, basically, which was, you know, trees and rocks. Kacha motzi shem ra chavera alacha kama v'kama. Right? Look how badly they got punished for doing it. Well, the more so if you say it about humans. Mimai. Why are you assuming, now we're going to do just like before, Mimai, Dilma Mishum to Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa. Maybe the reason why the Meraglim got punished so badly was because of Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa, what he says. Da'am Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa, Davar Gadol Dibru Meraglim Ba'ota Sha'a, Dichtiv, Ki Chazaku Mimenu, Al Tikra Ki Chazaku Mimenu, Ela Mimenu. This is a very funny line. Right? Mimenu is always this tricky word in Hebrew. Mimenu can mean from it, and Mimenu can mean from him. Okay, so when it says Davar Gadol, so now they're going to say what was bad about what they did. It wasn't Lashon Hara, according to Rav Chanina Bar Papa. It was, they said, Ki Chazaku Mimenu, which sounds like great, right? Sorry, it could be, I didn't say the two options, right? It could be Mimenu, actually could mean from me. It's too great for me to handle, right? That's the way you might think the Pshat is. But don't say Ki Chazaku Mimenu, it's too great for us. Ela mimenu, kivyachol, which means, right, God. It was too hard for God to do. Balabai ein yachol lehotzi kelav misham. Right, what they're saying is God can't take his kelim out of there, meaning they're too strong for even God. And then, what's the problem? The problem is not lashon hara. The problem is blasphemy, right, heresy. God can't handle this. Ela amar rabba amar Rish Lakish. Rabbi says, no, it's clear. Okay, this is exactly, why did I say it's exactly what we did? It's exactly what we did with the Motzi Shem Ra. The Motzi Shem Ra, we said, maybe it's not because it's Motzi Shem Ra, and that's his sin, even though that's what he's called, the Motzi Shem Ra. But maybe it's because he's going to cause her to get killed. And that's why it was so bad. Likewise, maybe the Meraglim wasn't, oh, but then they say, no, but it says it explicitly, just like by Motzi Shem Ra, because he was Motzi Shem Ra, Ki Otzi Shem Ra, that's why he's punished. Also by the Meraglim, it says it. What does it say? Vayamutu amarka vayamutu hanashim motzei dibata aretz ra'a. Al dibata aretz shotziu. Right? It's obvious that what did they do wrong? It says in the pasuk, because they spoke badly about the land. It doesn't say because they spoke badly about God. So really their sin was about the land. Tanya. Now we're going to have another braita about this. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Eser nisyonot nisu avotenu l'kadosh baruch hu. It's very interesting. We always talk about the 10 tests. Those are the 10 tests of Avraham. Right? But now this is the flip, right? Now, the Jews tested God 10 times. Okay, what are the 10 nisyonot? Shnayim bayam, ushnayim bamayim, shnayim biman, shnayim bislav, achat be'egel, achat bamibar. Okay, we have these pairs of two in the yam, in the mayim, with water, I should say. Okay, two with the man, two with the slav, the quails, and one with the egel, cheda egel, and one in Midbar Param, which was the meraglim. Okay, now we have to figure out what were these, all these nisyonot. Shnayim bayam, echat b'yiridav, echat b'aliyah. We're talking about Yam Suf, when they got to Yam Suf, to cross the sea, one when they were going in and one when they were going out. But yiridav dichtiv, what did they say when they're getting into, to go into the Yam Suf? Hamibli enk farim, b'mitzrayim, right, where they're not enough. Right, you wanted to bury us outside of Mitzrayim. They didn't have graves there. It's funny because Mitzrayim, right, is the everything is the mummies, and all about Kfarim. Anyway, so they complain to God, right? You're going to kill us right now? Ba'aliyah kidirav huna. Okay, now in the Aliyah, it's as Rav Huna says, Da'am Rav Huna, Yisrael Shabbato Ador Mekatnei Amanahayu. Okay, they were people who didn't really believe in God, or they, you know, they were very easily swayed. Kid Rabba Bar Mary, as Rabba Bar Mary said, Da'am Rabba Bar Mary, Mai Dichtiv Vayamlu Al Yam B'Yam Suf V'Yoshi'em Leman Shemo. Okay, here it says it in a pasuk in Tehillim. Okay, it talks about that they rebelled against God in Yam Suf. So, where did they rebel? So, here comes the drashan, the pasuk. Melamed shayu Yisrael mamrim ba'ota sha'a v'omrim. Kishem sha'anu olim mitzad zeh, kach Mitzrayim olim mitzad acher. We're getting, what happened? The water split, and they walked through, and then the water goes back, right? They were worried that maybe they're getting out on this side, and the Mitzrayim are going to get out on the other side. Now, one has to wonder, so, well, if the Mitzrayim are going to get out on the other side, what does it matter? They're on the other side. So, if you look at this picture, there's a picture in the Gemara, okay? There's a picture showing that when they went across Yam Suf, they didn't go Yam Suf this way and out Yam Suf the other end. They went in a keshet formation, in like a shape of a rainbow, and they turned around. In other words, they went in the Yam Suf in one place and came out in the other place, but from the same direction, basically, okay? So that they didn't come out the same place, but in a different place, they ended up coming out on the same side. So theoretically, if the Mitzrayim came out on where they went in, then they could have caught up on land with the Jews. So they were worried about that. Okay? Tosfot has a whole thing about it. You can look in Tosfot if you have time. Okay. Also, the Rambam in some place says it was actually a keshet, and he says that each shevet walked within their line. It was like a rainbow with 12... What's the rainbow called? 12 paths through the rainbow, you know, and that they each went that way. Okay, there's a lot said about that, but we're going to move on. So what happened? They started complaining. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu le'sar shel yam, plot otam liyabasha, spit out all the dead midstream onto the land. Okay, it sounds like a decent plan, right? Then they'll see the midstream on land, dead, and they won't be worried. Amar lefanav, so now the Sar Shel Yam, okay, the god of the sea, says, or the Malach, really, not the god, but the angel over the sea, says, Ribono Shel Olam, Klum Yesh Evet Shenoten L'Rabo Matana V'Chozer V'Notz La'imenu? He says, what? You just gave this gift to all the fish, that they now have all these dead people they're going to eat. You're going to take it away from them? You can't be an Indian giver. Interesting, right? You have to look at all the aspects. It wasn't just that he was killing the midstream to save the Jews, but he was also helping the fish. Amar lo, ani noten lecha echa v'mechza shebehem. I'm going to give you 1.5 times what you got. Okay, what's that? Okay, this is going to be in the time of Sisera. What happens? 900 chariots, sink in the water. Right? Remember, the water drips off, the snow melted from the top of Har Tavor, melted at the bottom, all his chariots drown. Here there were 600 chariots, and there were 900. So I'm going to give you 1.5 times. So don't worry. You're losing them now. The fish will get it back, right? Not those same fish, but many years later. Okay. So, Amar lepanav, Ribono shel Olam, Klum yesh evet shetoveat rabo. He says, what? I'm going to go. I won't be able to go back to you and say, hey, pay up, because I'm an evet. You're my master. I can't go to you and do that. Amar lo, nachal kishon yihyeh arev. Okay, that's where the battle took place in Nachal Kishon in Sisera's time. It says, Nachal Kishon will be the guarantor, okay, and therefore you can demand it from the guarantor himself, although there's all these issues. You're not allowed to go directly to a guarantor, only if, you know, you go to the Loba first, but okay, we won't get into that. This obviously isn't meant to be exact. Miyab paltan liyabasha, so God then spits them out onto the Yabasha, dechtiv, or, you know, the angel spits them out, right, after he realizes he gets his guarantee that the fish that he's in charge of will be protected. Dichtiv, where do we see this? Now you're never going to read this pasuk the same way anymore. Vayar Yisrael et Mitzrayim meit al sfat hayam. Why do they see them meit al sfat hayam? Theoretically, they should have been dead in the water. They should have sunk to the bottom of the water and they shouldn't have seen them. Now you know why. Okay, every day you daven, you'll think about this. Shnayim b'mayim, what was that? Mara and Rifidim, when they complain about the water. Okay, right, they had no water. Uchtiv, Vayarav Am and Moshe. And then it says they started fighting with Moshe. In other words, it wasn't just they didn't have water, but the way they handled it wasn't the right way. Shnayim b'man, twice with the man. Dechtiv al teitzu, right? Don't go out on Yom HaShabbat to gather the man. Vayetzu, and yet people went out. Al totiru, don't leave it over for the next day. Vayotiru, right? And people did leave it over, okay? Every time God told them to do something, they didn't listen. Shnayim b'slav, Rishon, ubislav sheni. Okay, there was the slav Rishon, ubislav sheni. Bislav Rishon, that came up in Shmot, b'shiftechem al sira basar, and bislav sheni, v'asafsuf asher b'kirbo, right? And p'shap b'halotcha, also the, right, they complain they have no meat, and then God brings the slav. Be'egel, dichti, kedite, mimidbar paran kedite. Okay, those we don't need to explain. Everybody knows about cheda egel and cheda marad. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra. My dichtiv, okay, now we're going to start off on all of our issues about Lashon Hara. So that was an aside about the 10 Nisyonot. Now we get into Lashon Hara, dichtiv. Ma yitain lecha uma yosif lecha Lashon Rimiya. Okay, what will I give you? What will I add to you? Lashon, you're the tongue of deceit. Amar lo kadosh baruch hu la Lashon. How do we explain this pasuk? Kol evarav shal adam zikufim. All the organs of a person's body are upright, va'atam mutalin, you're on your side. Okay, now generally if someone's on their side, they're sleeping, right? It's kind of like a lazy position. You're not actually ready to act. Kol evarav shel adam mibachutz, va'atam mibifnim. All the evarim, right? I guess I mean the hands, the legs, right? You can see them, and the tongue is inside. Below ela, this is really interesting, she kafti lecha shtei chomot. I put two walls on you. In other words, number one, I lied you down so that you wouldn't really do much. Then I put two walls up. Achad shel etzem, one of bone, your people's teeth. Ve'achad shel basar, and your lips, right? Those are both protecting the mouth, from the tongue from speaking, from getting out too much. Ma yitein lecha u'ma yosif lecha lashon rimiya, right? But you, anyway, you know, you've managed to break out of your two chomot and you're being on the inside and you're being lying down and yet you still do deceitful act. I know, it's an interesting image of how God tried to teach us not to open our mouths too quickly, right? It's something we always struggle with. Why did I say that? Why did I do that? I should have thought before I did it. You know, you can think next time about all the barriers that God put up to protect you from, you know, being quick to speak. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yossi Ben Zimra. Kol ha-misaper lashon hara ki'ilu kafar b'ikar. It's as if he rebelled against God, right? Doesn't believe in God. Shenemar, asher amru l'lashonenu nagbir sfatenu itanu mi adon lanu. Right, we told our lashon and our right to speak out a lot because who is adon lanu? We don't have an adon, right? We don't believe in anyone. Now, why is that? There's two reasons given. One is, normally, people who speak about someone else, they're very careful to look around and make sure no one's listening. But they don't think about the fact that God hears everything. That's one, number one reason why you'd be kafir b'ikar. And another is what we talked about before about the rapist getting benefit. It's the kind of act that you don't really benefit from at all. So to be kafir b'ikar means you're so bad that you don't even get pleasure from something, and yet you're doing evil. Like, that's the worst kind of evil. This is where we get it from, right? You get tzaraat. Okay, tzaraat is a punishment for lashon hara. Now we're going to see where we get this from. That's leprosy. Shenemar. Malsheni, is that how you pronounce it? Milashni baseta re'ehu oto atzmit. Okay, that means someone who speaks lashon hara in secret. Right, Malsheni b'seter re'ehu, right, from your lashon. Okay, speaks about his friend in seter. Oto atzmit, we had this word just the other day, yatzmitem, yatzmitem, Hashem Elokeinu, will be destroyed. Okay, now, the targum, ktiv hatam, litzmitut. Okay, so now, atzmit is the same as smitut. Now, where does smitut appear? By the, smitut appears in other places. We saw this the other, about, if you're not go'el the sadeh, just yesterday's topic. It ends up being yours, litzmitut. Umitargaminan, and the targum on that word, which is the same as our word, says lechalutin. Lechalutin means forever, right? It's
totally.
Right, totally, entirely. Utnan, and what does chalutin have to do with mitzora? If you remember, there's two types of mitzora. There's the muzgar, where the Kohen puts him, you know, says for 7 days, go and I'll check you in 7 days. And when he determines that he is a mitzora, they're called a mitzora muchlat. So it's not ein bein mitzora muzgar the mitzora muchlat ela priyau frima. There's the only difference between the status of the mitzora when he's in waiting and the status once it's determined is that he has to tear his garments and let his hair go wild. Those are things that happen, right? He can't cut his hair. Those are things that happen when he's a muchlat. Okay, that's the only difference. Now, what do you see from here? The main thing is that a muchlat is related to sarat, and here we have auto atzmit for speaking lashon hara. It's the same lashon. Amar Rish Lakish, my dechtiv zotia torata mitzora, zotia torato shel motzi shem ra. You say, mitzora and motzi shem ra are kind of one and the same. They darshan it together. Amar Rish Lakish, Rish Lakish, by the way, has a lot of statements about lashon hara. Im yashucha nachash below lachash. What's the lachash? That's the guy who kind of seduces the, you know, the guy who plays the music, or he whispers secrets to the what do you call him? Forgot the word for him, but to tame the snake. Now, if the snake bites without anyone having given him the lachash, ve'ein yitron the baal halashon. He has no yitaron, the baal halashon. This pasuk from Kohelet, meaning if he didn't do the lachash, then right, he didn't tame the snake. What do they learn from this pasuk? La'atid lavo mitkabtzot kol ha'chayot uba'ot etzon nachash. Okay? In the future, all the chayot are going to go to the nachash ba'omrot. Ari dores ba'ochel, ze'ev toref ba'ochel, va'ata ma'ana'a yesh lecha. Again, going back to the same theme, you bite someone, but you don't get to eat them. All the other animals, they bite their prey, and then they eat them. You don't even eat, you just bite. You don't even get pleasure from it. Omer lahem, v'chima yitaron le'baal ha'lashon. So he says back to them, you do the same thing, right? Again, it's the chayot, but it's an image to the people. They do lashon hara, they don't get any benefit. It's like a snake bite. They're basically comparing in the pasuk the nachash to the baal halashon. V'amar Rish Lakish, kol ha'maseper lashon hara magdil avonot ad l'shamayim. His sins go all the way up to the heavens. Shenemar, shatu b'shamayim pihem u'lishonam talech ba'aretz. They send their mouths to the sky and their lishonot roam around the aretz, okay, which means that gets everywhere because they're the shonot, speak all over the land terrible things, it goes all the way up to Shemayim. Amar of Chisya Amar Marukva, kolam esaper lashon hara ro'oy lesoklo be'evan, they should be stoned. How do we get this? K'tiv hacha oto atzmit, again we go back to that pasuk about atzmit, uk'tiv hatam, the same lashon is mentioned with stoning. Samtu bebor chayai, v'yadu evan bi. Okay, they put me in a... they've destroyed my life in the dungeons, and then they stoned me. Amar Abchista, Amar Marukva, Kol Masaper Lashon Hara, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ein Ani V'Hu Yecholim Lador Ba'Olam. I can't dwell in the same world as this person if he speaks Lashon Hara. Shneamar, Milashni B'Seter Re'ehu Oto Atzmit. There you have it, right? God is going to destroy him. Can't live in the world with him. Giva Einayim U'Rechov Levav. Now we're going to see really why he can't live in the same world with him. He's so haughty that Oto Lo Uchal. Okay, I can't tolerate him. Shav al tikre oto lo uchal, ela ito lo uchal. It's not, I can't tolerate him, it's, I can't live with him. Okay, ito lo uchal. I can't be with him. V'ika dematne la al gasei aruch. Some people say, no. Oto atzmit is about the lashon hara, but the part about God not being able to tolerate is not about people who speak lashon hara, it's about people who are haughty. Now the assumption is, the first opinion is that people who speak lashon hara, it comes from haughtiness. It's all the same thing. Amar Chisya Amar Marukva. Kol Masaper Lashon Hara. Omer Hakadosh Baruch Hu L'Sar Shel Gehenom. Here's also another interesting image. Anyone speaks Lashon Hara, God speaks to the angel of hell. Ani Alav Milamala Vata Alav Milamata. I come from above. You come from below. We're going to quash him from all sides. Alav Milamata Nidonenu. Right. And we'll judge him from all sides. How do we get this? Shneamar Chitzei Gibor Shinunim. The arrows of the Gibor are sharp. Im gachalei retamim, with burning coals. Now, burning coals is always an image for hell, right? And arrows are arrows shot from God. So, ein chetz ela lashon. Okay, now, chitzei gibor shinunim. Chetz is an image for the lashon. We're going to talk about this a lot more by Hemshech. Shneamar, chetz shachut lashonam, mirma diber. Their arrows come out of their mouths. Okay, what's the image here? Right, that they... Your arrows go very far. You speak, and it goes very far. Ve'ein gibor ala kadosh baruch hu. In other words, the chitzei gibor shinunim, gibor is a reference to God. The chitzim is a reference to the tongues. That God shoots arrows at those who speak lashon hara. And then, right, how do we know God is a gibor? Shneamar, Hashem ki gibor yetzei. Gachalei retamim hainu gehenu. Amar Rav Chama Rabbi Chanina, Mata Kanato Shel Mesaprei Lashon Hara. Okay, so now they say, okay, well, what are you going to do if you speak Lashon Hara? Im Tamei Chachamu Yasok B'Torah. Okay, here we go, right? It's speak words of Torah instead of speaking Lashon Hara. Shneamar Marpet Lashon Eitz Chayim. What's the marpeh for the lashon? Eitz chayim. We know eitz chayim, right? Ein lashon ela lashon hara. Shneamar ches shachut lashonam. Lashon always refers to lashon hara. Ve'ein eitz ela Torah. Shneamar eitz chayim hila machazikim ba. Very famous pasuk. Ve'ein v'im ama'aretzu. Right? If he's not going to learn, okay, he's not going to learn Torah. He's in ama'aretz. What should he do if he spoke lashon hara? Yashpil da'ato. He should lower himself. Shneamar v'silaf ba. If he perverted himself in this, shvar ruach. Break your ruach, knock down your haughtiness, and that will cause you to go back. Okay, Rabbi Achav, Rabbi Chanina Omer, okay, as opposed to the first opinion, which told you what you should do to fix it, Siper, Ein Lo Takana. There's no way you can fix it. It's done. It's out there. You right? This is different than any other sin. There is no Takana. Shekfar Korato David Ruach HaKodesh. David already in Ruach HaKodesh said that you're going to get karet for doing this. Shenemar Yachret Hashem Kol Sifteich HaLakot. Lashon Midaberet Gedolot. Okay? And therefore, right, God's going to take care of all those people who speak bad things. Elamata Kanato Shelo Yavoli De Lashon Hara. The Takana we're talking about is how do you prevent yourself from speaking Lashon Hara? So all those learning, you're in a good place. Im Tamei Chachamu Yasok B'Torah. Stop here for today. Tomorrow we're going to see that those who speak Lashon Hara, it's as if they've done the three big Averot. It's in league with the big ones. Okay? This is a really interesting, right? You can see the Chavetz Chaim, who wrote his book Shmirat HaLashon, a lot of what he took are from these Dapim. This is where really all the sources are about, or a lot of the sources about the significance and the damaging effects of Lashon Hara.